It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, Fairbanks. Welcome back to the Compo Outdoor Show. Another Saturday in Fairbanks. We're in mid-January and getting cold again, like Mother Nature has a tendency to do in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've always told people that's kind of why I love it here. Fairbanks, I don't think, will ever be much more than 100,000 people because of January. And it's just cold enough to keep people from making that decision to live here, and they really don't know what they're missing by not living here full time. It's just there's so many nice times of year, and I just love it here. Our family's been here, you know, since the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, and it's just a wonderful place to live. And with that, I have one of my favorite guests on the show, Captain Eric Spitzer of the Alaska State Troopers. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to. We got a lot to talk about today, and I just love it when you come to our meetings. And we had lunch the other day and talk about some of these cases that you have. I think that was my speaker. And anyway, if there's an interruption here, it's because he has an emergency on his phone he may have to attend to. That's what happens. A priority is public safety, so my show can wait, and I'll muddle my way through it. But I should take care of a little bit of housekeeping in the meantime. Anyway, I should. Over at the shop, we got all this fresh new snow, and we're having a big sale on four-wheelers with plows and side-by-sides with plows. You can get a free plow kit, which is about $1,500 for a side-by-side or about $800 or $900 for a four-wheeler. You can get specials on all of those free stuff, especially on the non-current, the 2023 Can-Ams that we're just rolling onto the showroom. We got 24s coming in crates, and so we're having a big sales on that stuff. If you need to push some of the snow and don't want to hire the kid down the street at too much money to shovel your walk or whatever, do you drive? Come on down and check out our Can-Ams. And again, we got some specials on Ski-Doos, and we have the Widescape, which Captain Spitzer has actually tested in the powder, the stand-up snow machine. We got those going at $795 down. We've got a demo at the shop. You can come down and ride it. We make you wear a helmet and show you where the powder is and just go have a ball. If you want to do that, come by during daylight hours, and we can do that for you. But back to my guest, Eric Spitzer. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you very much. You know, I wanted to... reflecting back on your startup here about the Fairbanks winter and everything, mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I wanted to comment about that because I travel all over the country going to different trainings and things like that and conferences and whatnot. And they always meet people from out of state and they say, oh, what's it like being from Fairbanks? Isn't it cold and dark? And it's interesting because if I like someone, I'm telling them, like, man, you would love Alaska. You'd love Fairbanks. It's hunting, fishing, trapping, jet boating, snow machining. And when someone's kind of like a pain in the you-know-what.
You'd hate it.
I'm like, oh, yeah, it's miserable. You'd hate it.
Well, that's your filter system. That's vetting people coming to the state, right?
Yeah, I don't want a bunch of dead weight here, you know, so.
Yeah. I see you brought me some summer sausage, roadkill summer sausage.
Indeed.
The jarred stuff was fantastic. I can't wait to try this.
That is
I'm not taking it to work. I'm taking that home.
Oh, yeah. And you got to hide that from your kids. That's fresh, man. That's mile two. I call that one 243. That's 243 Parks. Just 2 weeks ago. And, you know, interesting. I want to mention something about that.
Yeah.
I got these funny little roadkill stickers that I put on that because, well, I mean, it actually was roadkill.
Yeah.
You know, the roadkill list, get on the list. Some people were recently complaining about it that they get on the roadkill list and they were upset that they weren't getting the emails because as you go down the list, there's an email that comes out that says, hey, you're two or three within getting called out. And then what happens is they said, well, I get the email and then I get called out like, you know, 5 minutes later or something. And I just wanted to kind of address that. That the email process on the roadkill list is a courtesy that is done. And what makes it difficult to do this is, you know, people want to know ahead of time so they can dig out their trailer and get stuff ready and all this and knives sharpened and stuff ready to go. Well, when it's, you know, 25 below zero. 2 o'clock in the morning and we're going down the list. There will be like 10 people that don't answer the phone. So we're like, bang, we're going right through the list quickly. And people are getting called suddenly. And, you know, they were upset that they're getting missed. They didn't answer the phone. I just want to tell folks, if you're on that roadkill list,
be ready.
You got to be ready, and you have to answer your phone at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's 25 below zero.
Yeah, you can't wait around. There's stuff going on. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think people just probably figure they got skipped. But if you make an attempt, you're not going to make multiple attempts. You don't have time, right?
And the deal is that, you know, they're supposed to be able to respond out there.
How do people get on that list?
It's on, you know, I believe it's on the, our website. If you type in Alaska, I don't have my Google thing going on here, but you type in road, because I asked someone myself. Yeah. I got on the list, and I was like, how do you even do that?
But you can go online somewhere. Yeah, probably like, through the trooper's site, maybe.
And there's like a...
Click here for roadkill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you were telling us at our Wednesday lunch the other day, or no, actually, it was, I think, after that, we were talking to you somewhere about the about a couple of these criminal cases. I'm really always intrigued by this and how creative your department can be and how that's really working. You know, last time, I think, well, I don't know if we mentioned it on the air, but I was an expert witness in a case, that big case where the mining company got ripped off. Mm-hmm. And you've made, what, 7 or 8 arrests now, mm-hmm. and a bunch of really creative ways you've done it with when they tried to go on Facebook and sell it, and you worked with the victim and things like that. But you also mentioned a couple of cases, including one down in Enana. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm really proud of our sergeant, Joel Miner. He's a sergeant for in the Healy Post, and he's kind of responsible for the troopers in Cantwell, Healy, and Enana, watching over things down there. And so he got a call for a burglary. Someone saw someone running from a residence. This was just like not last night, but the night before. He responded there, followed the footprints backward to a residence. Nobody was home. He found signs of burglary there. And he contacted the victim, who was a slope worker, and said, hey, it looks like your place got broken into. And a gun safe was broken into, a couple, you know, I don't know how many guns were there. And through the conversation, they determined that there was several handguns stolen. And then it also looked like there were some rifles set up to be taken, but they weren't taken, as if, oh, maybe he's going to come back.
Crime in progress.
Yeah. Yeah, crime in progress, you know. So I commend the initiative of Sergeant Miner. He asked the victim in that case, he said, hey, would you mind if I just stayed here in your house and waited for this little turkey to come back?
He must have moved his car, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he hit his car down the road.
This is great.
Out of sight. This is fantastic. And, you know, so he waited in there, and then the suspect, I won't mention his name here, but you could look this stuff up on the AST Dispatch online. It has all of our press releases and stuff. But anyway, this guy comes back. Climbs in the window, zero dark 30, you know, and then up jumps Sergeant Miner, who is a formidable adversary. I mean, he's a big man.
Imagine he waited till he got in the window.
Oh, yeah. He said, I don't want to chase this guy in the snow. So then not only does he arrest him there in the progress of a burglary, but he follows his footprints back to this guy's house and then gets a search warrant for the house. And guess what? Recovers 2 stolen guns, a bunch of ammunition.
Wow.
And also some prohibited items from the ATF. Someone sawed off shotgun.
Wow.
And, homemade silencer and stuff like that. So
that's great. Well, that's kind of ballsy, you know. I mean, that's what cops do. Good cops do it. But he wanted to nail this guy. And, I mean, what was his option? He could have sat in the car outside. The guy would have probably seen the cop and just kept going or something.
Yeah.
Or hid. But that's really neat that they take that initiative to nail a bad guy, and hopefully this guy gets some serious time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, like, he is an outstanding trooper.
I met him. He was one of the ones involved with the mining company theft, right? Because I thought I saw him over there at that.
Maybe you're thinking of Sergeant Mobley. Sergeant Mobley's in charge of our criminal suppression unit.
Okay.
And those guys... it's like, see, here's my analogy of this. As a hunter, a fisher, a trapper, and stuff like that, outdoorsman, if you're going to hunt wolves, you don't use caribou to hunt wolves. I mean, you have to put people out there that have got like that forwarding, insatiable curiosity and that hunt drive and that prey drive to kind of follow stuff up and to do things like, hey, I'm going to sit here and wait for 4.5 hours until this guy comes back to get this stuff, to get more. And that relentless pursuit of criminals. And I think the reason that we love doing this so much is that we love to serve the community of Fairbanks. Like, this is a very respectful community, and we just enjoy doing work for you. And I look at it like, what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anybody could wear the uniform, but, like, what have you really done? What have you done around here?
And just since I've got to know you over the last 6 months or a year, it is amazing because I spread the word, and I really believe this. But, like, for example, yesterday morning I took my truck over to my auto repair place to drop it off to have the plow fixed or worked on. And I said, hey, how's your morning going? And Ronnie goes, not so good. He goes, some crackheads came in and stole my plow truck last night. Oh. And I said, you're probably going to get it back. And he goes, what? And I said, I'm telling you. I said, the troopers anymore, they are on it. I said, I know the captain. He's probably as familiar with this case.
Yep.
It's in an area that they monitor quite often. It's a bad area. I said, so don't be surprised if they set up a sting or something happens. I said, they really are on it. And so I'm always out there preaching that because I believe it. I really believe that things have changed.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they were that much. All, you know, you hear on the street, oh, don't call the cops. They won't do anything. They're doing something now. Whether they were or not before, this criminal suppression unit you've got is kicking ass.
Well, I'll tell you that before you even mentioned that to me about that stolen plow truck, the first thing that I saw in the morning when I woke up is Trooper Seminario's the case officer on that one. And as soon as he took the report of it, he put it on blast to, there's like about 172, 180 uniformed law enforcement folks in the Fairbanks area. And when I say that, I mean like park rangers, ATF, DEA, FBI, University of Fairbanks, and the airport police, and Northpool police, everybody, if I miss anybody. So what we do is we got this email group, and we just shoot it out there. Hey, there's a stolen vehicle. This is what it looks like. Add a picture if you have a picture of it.
Yeah.
And that way, rather than just one person looking for it, one cop looking for it, or a victim looking for it, all the gun toters in town are looking for it. Yeah. So I got news for you. If you're driving that pickup truck with that plow on it, it's a blue GMC.
GMC pickup with a black, and I think it's the, I've got the same one. I bought my plow from them.
It has something written on the front of the plow.
Yeah, I just forgot it. I'm just having a blank right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a black and yellow plow on a blue 98 GMC. I'm going to personally throw a $500 reward out if somebody can find that truck and let me know, and I'll help out with the troopers. I don't know if that's okay to do, but this is a buddy of mine, and he's a really good guy, a really great family. They've been around forever. They're very supportive of the community, and I hate it when people like that get stung. So $500, you guys, everybody listening, look for a 98 GMC pickup with the big black and yellow plow on it, and just give Craig a call over at Compos if you happen to see it. Or obviously the troopers.
You call 451-5100 if you think that you see
that's
it.
That's a better idea.
You know, I commend you for your forward-leaning approach with that offering, that reward. And, you know, I believe in rewards. That was one of the things that got us to break that serial arsonist case out in Two Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Was a sizable reward. And I'll tell you, I used to work as a task force officer at DEA, and one of our biggest things was cash rewards for informants and things like that. And I just kind of want to put this out there. If you have information, and we have this anonymous tip line, and the anonymous tip line, if you're anonymous, you can't get a reward. But I'll say this. If you know somebody who's a burglar and you know, hey, they're going out to burglarize this place in a specific location, if you call 451-5100 and ask to speak to the criminal suppression unit, you'll get a dispatcher first, ask to speak to the criminal suppression unit. I guarantee you, like, this is what these guys do. I can't afford to have them staked out all the time.
A lot of overtime and extra time.
Yeah, but it's worth it to, you know, kick out a $500 or $1,000 reward. If you see something, say something.
Hey, we're going to be right back and talk a little bit about the comedy show we had this last week with Captain Eric Spitzer. So listen to these messages, and we'll be right back.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, Fairbanks, we're back with Captain Eric Spitzer. I did want to mention too, I always have to throw in a little shop talk because that's what I'm supposed to be doing here, but it's all good. February we have our midwinter boat sale, and we're gonna have a big blowout on our leftover Sea Arc boats. We have one Predator left, we've got some SJX boats and our Yamaha outboards. Anything to do with summer is going to be on sale in February. We do it for 15 days a year in February. So, you know, make sure you get down and check that out in February. Just a heads up for that. Okay, Captain Spitzer, a couple other things I wanted to talk about. We were having some sort of feedback here. Let me see. Can you hear me okay?
I got you loud and clear.
Okay. All right, good. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the comedy side of you. So I happened to mention a while back, or I found out that Captain Spitzer did some stand-up comedy, which is great. And so I said, you got to go on the Funny Fest. You got to get on there. And I talked to Glenner, and he goes, have him turn his request in. He says, I guarantee you he'll get on there. And I thought you were the best of the bunch there. I didn't see Saturday shows, but tell us about that whole experience and kind of your passion for comedy.
Well, my origin story with comedy goes back to, I was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps at Parris Island, and I used to like to incorporate comedy into my daily routine as a drill instructor, because if you could get a Marine Corps recruit to crack up, like lose their bearing and smile and smirk while they're standing in a position of attention, then like you can take them off and do some incentive PT with them and stuff that. So it was always like this thing. I would like to say things that are like borderline right on just the absurd. And like, you know, the recruits looking at you like, what? So, and then later on, I became an instructor at our academy. And I learned that if you can trick someone into as you're presenting a subject matter, if you can trick them into being, while they're entertained, you're tricking them into learning something. So I always, and I'll tell you, I think that as a law enforcement officer, a good sense of humor is critical in this career field.
De-escalation. Because
the de-escalation. And then also just for your own personal wellness, because you see such horror.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, tragedy and things like that. And if you... some of the things, like, of course, you're not laughing in someone's face, but, yeah. I mean, you have to kind of just laugh some stuff off. And, you know, you've heard of, like, gallows humor and stuff that kind of gets you through some of this. But anyway, so I actually did a paper on this when I was at the FBI National Academy on laughter releases like feel-good hormones, endorphins in your body. And we have a good, I think that you should have a good belly laugh every day.
Yeah.
And it releases this endorphin that kills cortisol. Cortisol is this thing that happens when you get stressed out. It's what causes heart attacks, yeah. Testosterone levels going down in men. And like, you know, you have this, it's cortisol is kind of like a result of adrenaline in your body and stress and anxiety and things like that. So I love to laugh. I love making people laugh. I mean, not necessarily at work all the time. I'm not a clown or nothing, but it's good to have a good laugh every day.
It's healthy for you. And we don't have enough of that in the world, especially with a world that's gotten so politically correct, so serious, you have to worry about saying anything anymore. And that's what the Funny Fest is fun about. You can kind of let it go. To me, the Funny Fest is kind of like Halloween, stand-up comedy. Kind of everybody, you release that filter and you can just let anything go. And it's just naturally funny. And people aren't offended because they know, well, most people aren't because they're just joking. But give us a brief summary of the These Aren't My Pants story.
Oh, yeah.
That's a true story. I mean, it's true. To summarize that part of it.
Okay. So, you know, we start off the thing and talking about down the intersection of walk and don't walk, and this guy's doing wrong in a do right zone. And, you know, some story of the guy's got a warrant for his arrest. So, go to pat him down. And as soon as you go to pat him down, like, he makes a spontaneous utterance like, "Hey, these aren't my pants." And I have heard that so many times.
"These aren't my pants."
Yeah, right. So, and it's like usually what I hear, like right before you're, you know, reach in the pocket to pat him down, you're looking for weapons and stuff, and out pops like a, you know, a meth pipe and a bunch of big fat sack of meth.
"These aren't my pants."
"These aren't my pants," but he's got his like wallet in the pocket with his ID in there. And there's like his, you know, like his car keys.
What was the guy's name in your story? Thor?
Oh, yeah, Thor. And we had some fun with that because, you know, how everybody's, you know, very sensitive now about, you know, racial jokes and things like that. And I was like, Thor. And it was basically like, "Hey, you never noticed that there's no racial jokes about Vikings?" You ever
this was
why?
A Viking, yeah.
Yeah, this guy, the guy that I, for the telling of the story, I was like, "This guy's Thor." I had a friend named Thor Julianson. He's a guide.
Oh.
I met him.
So you used his name.
I used his name because he was like a Viking, like red hair, just like this massive man that would pack like two front shoulders of moose meat out. I was it was my first job in Alaska was a moose packer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I was just like, so I arrested this guy, Thor, this Viking named Thor. And I was like, "What was his, what do you have?" He had like three warrants. What were they? And the guy in the crowd yells out like, "Raping, pillaging, looting."
That wasn't set up? Was that guy just yell that? Or
if I'm going to be honest,
I couldn't
here,
tell.
I know the guy. He works over at STR.
Okay.
And I was like, "Hey, say this when I do the thing." And for the joke to work, the whole thing was, I was like, "Hey, why would you just automatically jump to what, like he's a Viking, so all Vikings do is rape, pillage, and loot?" Kind of stereotype, you know what I mean? There's kind of stereotyping there, being a little ethnocentric, don't you think? And why would you do that? You know, so we had a good time with it. And so anyway, then I can't go into the whole bit, but I mean, we talked about how my wife kind of runs the show at the house, and she's Italian. I'm involved in a biracial.
Big Ange,
yeah. I'm involved in a biracial relationship. You know, my wife's Italian. So, anyway.
Your mannerisms were fantastic. I've videoed the thing. I've watched it since, and it's just your mannerisms are great when you're doing your wife with flipping the cigarette.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I grew up around a bunch of Italian friends on the East Coast, so I love to spoof on them and kind of, yeah. So, anyway, talking about how Big Ann, she runs this. We have this, I bet you, just chicken eggs. My daughters raise chickens, sell the eggs and all that. And sometimes certain chickens have to go and whatnot. And we talk about how I felt like a mob hitman with some of these chickens, like the rooster that assaulted.
Under the direction of Big Ann.
Under the direction of Big Ann. She calls the shots, you know. She's like, we had this one rooster. I thought I was going to be rich. His name was
He had like a stutter. It is cock-a-doodle-doo.
It is cock-a-doodle-doo. He couldn't do a regular cock-a-doodle-doo, and he would go, uh-oh.
So, well, you played it on the phone.
Yeah, I got it. I actually have a couple videos of it. I thought I'm going to be like a TikTok millionaire because I would have this talking chicken, right, this talking rooster. Well, he made a mistake one day. He got all full of testosterone. He jumped up on Big Ange, knocked her down. She dropped all the eggs in the pen, and he jumped on her and, like, spurred her, tried to get her in the face and stuff like that. So she calls me up on the phone. She's like, you listen, and you listen good. I want you to whack uh-oh when you get home from work today. And she's like, I want you to shoot him in the face because I want you to send a message to the other roosters in there.
Just cracking me up.
You know, like, I feel like Sonny the Bull Gravano going in, like, whacking this rooster. So I walk in there and I go to shoot the rooster in the face, and he's looking at me. And he goes, uh-oh. Like,
right before he gets shot.
Yeah.
How do you hold a gun steady?
Telling you, I think I got PTSD after this this whole thing because I had, like, high hopes for this rooster. We were getting along great. We're kind of friends. And then I had to whack him.
You know, back in it reminded me of a story. There's a customer we used to have. His name is John Peters. He's left long ago. But during the Clinton fiasco with Monica, he had a parrot. And they would listen to the news every night. And he actually trained it, although the first couple of times he heard the parrot go, I did not have sex. I did not. And pretty soon he had this parrot. He videoed it, trained to say, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Just like that. Yeah. And I'm going, John, you need to get on the Tonight Show with this. I said, he said, no, I'm not going to. I said, no, this is big. Yeah, this is really. He never did anything with it, but it was so funny to watch. We would watch it over and over on our TV screen. He had it, VHS tape at that time, I think we shoved in there. It was hilarious. But anyway, humor is good. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. I hope a lot of the. You don't want to test that when you're out driving if there's an issue. You don't want to test the trooper too much and see who's got a sense of humor. But I know a lot of them do. And they're just, you know, I think they're. You guys must have some training to de-escalate.
Oh, yeah.
There's stressful times. For sure. Whether people pulled over and you don't know if they're dangerous or not. But, I mean, the more casual you are and just natural, you got to do your job, obviously. But instead of just being that guy, that cop that nobody wants to even talk to. I mean, it seems neat if you can de-escalate it. So that's always good.
Yeah.
And you're going to. You're submitting the great Dark Winter Nights, which is I'd never heard of this until a couple 3 years ago, and then I was part of it on a deal Glenner did. It's at the Herring Auditorium, and it's just a bunch of Alaskans that get chosen. You tell your story, 10 or 15, 20 minute story, and you get up in front of 800 people and you kind of tell this true story that happened to you. I've got one. I don't know if they'll let it on the air or let it in front of the crowd. You've got one.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're both on there. Maybe neither of us.
Oh, that would be awesome.
We'll see. It'd be great if we're both on there. And I tell you what, the place, they were turning people away last year.
Yeah.
Literally turning them away. The place was packed. People were angry because they get there and it was cold out and they got there. But they do it in, I think, October, November, and then they do it again in March.
Yeah. They got a web page. You can check it out. Like, and I'll tell you what, either I'm in it or attending it. Either way, I'm going.
Yes.
Like one way or the other, I'll see you there.
So, yeah, you want to get your tickets early this March
because for sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. My story is it's kind of a hunting story, medical condition story all wrapped into one. I briefed you on it the other day, and I just finished it, and I hope we get it on there. But it's pretty graphic. I had to tone it way down and let a lot of stuff to your imagination, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. What else is going on? You got another minute or two left. Anything else going on? Anything? Oh, how about the drive, the teddy bear drive?
Yeah, yeah. I got to tell you, this kind of segues into it, but I got this thing sent to us in the mail the other day from Denali Elementary School, and it was this compilation of, like, I don't know, 50 of these letters sent from kids from the school thanking the troopers for, we went over there and did a public safety presentation and K-9 and stuff like that. Anyway, so we got these, and we normally take Safety Bear out to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But our Safety Bear is all wadded up. He looks like a like a ferret on meth or something. He's just all, it's falling apart. Anyway, and you get that $1,000 donation. Basically, what we're trying to do is get us a new costume. They cost about $7,000, and...
It's for FOAST?
Yeah. The donation goes to Fraternal Order of Alaska State Troopers, and it's a charitable donation, and that way we're not involved in it. It just goes directly to that.
So, you can drop a check off at the trooper's office, FOAST, and help pay for this bear that helps the kids understand public safety.
So. No pressure, though. Yeah, no pressure. We'll get there one way or another.
Yeah, you'll get there. All right, Fairbanks. Well, it's been another episode of The Outdoor Show. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Captain Spitzer, and we will see you all soon. Drive safe.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.